listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Friends, grace to you and peace from Jesus the Christ who calls you now. Amen. I thought I had something earlier this week for this sermon today. And then yesterday, a small handful of us from Bethlehem, along with a few members from three other churches in the area, gathered on a glitchy Zoom call and survived our way, and much more, through the entire Gospel of Mark. This is something I like to do every new year with the congregation, at least with whoever is up for a very different kind of Saturday morning, reading the gospel of the year aloud in its entirety, taking turns chapter by chapter. And of course, this year, it had to be virtual. Our time together started actually really fragmented by trying to figure out, as I think just about everyone can relate to, trying to figure out how to see each other, a flurry of texts to get the meeting code again, and computers muted or not muted, video on or not able to be on, can't figure it out. I think even our most tech savvy can relate. Sometimes these things just happen, sometimes our own fault, and sometimes it's got nothing to do with us. At one point, I, as the group host, got bumped off the call yesterday morning. I thought I lost everyone. Then a few more folks came in after we had started. Anyway, somehow we managed it all. There are definitely many worse things happening in our nation and in our world right now. But to be honest, this felt like a little bit of a virtual storm out on the sea of ministry. And then Jesus found us and called us. As we got into the chapters, I was again swept up by the narrative of God's mercy in the Gospel of Mark as different voices among us came through my speakers one way or another. Sometimes they were delayed. Sometimes the voices sped up. Sometimes in the right places, too. It was kind of entertaining. It was really ultimately quite beautiful. Actually, it was incredibly powerful. I was sharing with a friend yesterday afternoon about the experience, how every year, it seems, every year, to be honest, I drag into this endeavor at the last minute. I'm deflated at that point where we start reading. I'm all tangled up. It's definitely true yesterday. I try to build the event up in the weeks before, but always then on that Saturday morning when it actually rolls around, to be honest, I envy everybody who's opting out of this. As our small little group is climbing with me into the saddle for another gospel reading, this year was no exception to that. And then, every year, the gospel is enough. The words are enough. Every year. I forget it from year to year. But every year it happens. The gospel is more than enough, and I leave the experience always inspired, challenged, filled. This year was no exception. And it's changed my direction as I preach on this early section from chapter 1, our gospel text for today, where Jesus shows up out of the baptismal waters and calls the disciples, where Jesus calls you and me. The gospel of Mark is the gospel of exorcisms. That's what really jumped out at me again and again as we read yesterday. Jesus, not just in the stories where he actually casts out demons, of which there are many of those, but Jesus is calling out and driving out the evil and the brokenness in the world and in the hearts of people all throughout the gospel of Mark. It is the gospel of exorcisms. I hope as we're reading through the Gospel of Mark this year, you see and hear exorcisms in every lesson that we read, and I see it again here today. And then the reading from Jonah today, it's God having to send Jonah out again. After that whole dramatic whale episode that I imagine many of us learned in Sunday school, you know, where God sends Jonah to Nineveh. He doesn't want to go. He jumps on a ship in the literal opposite direction. He asks to be thrown overboard then in a fit of guilt during the storm. He gets swallowed up by and lives in the belly of a giant fish for 3 days, then finally is spit up onto the shore and finally goes to Nineveh. After all that, he still doesn't learn. He doesn't think the people deserve God's mercy. He still tries to run from it all. And here in our Old Testament lesson, God's just sending him out again. That's the text in the first lesson. All that to say that we, like me, in our online reading event yesterday, need God's nudging, God's calling us, sometimes God's dragging us, fishing us out from our own nets, and sending us to again and again and again. Why? Because we are the ones through whom our God is seen and heard. And the demons are not just overtly evil actions and intentions. The demons that need to be cast out, the demons are not just overt evil actions and intentions, like the terrorists we witness rushing up the steps and attacking the Capitol on the day of Epiphany, now 3 weeks ago. That was pure evil, violence through word and deed. More and more is coming out in stories of the brutality and the sheer hatred that was alive that day. The demons are not just that, those actions and those words, nor are they just our cruel words or our backhanded comments or our vengeful thoughts or secret schadenfreude, you know, the pleasure derived by another's misfortune. The demons, friends in Christ, as I realized in myself yesterday, the demons are also our anxiety, our fear, our obsession with perfection, and our distrust that God's got us now and always will. The demons are many and various and need an entire gospel narrative to be named and finally cast out by Jesus. I said perfection. The demon of perfection. I want everything and always want everything to go perfectly. Are you like that too, high achievers? Mending nets that are broken constantly so that not only do they work well, they look good, they present well, they function most efficiently. Jesus finds us there. Hey, follow me instead, he says. Let go of those nets. And follow me instead. I'm currently in our annual Bishop's Academy, which this year, of course, has to be a Zoom call for like 5 weeks in a row on Wednesdays. We've got an incredible speaker on this call, Dr. Ryan Bonfiglio of Cantler School of Theology. He's deep dive lecturing us on the Sabbath. That is the theme this year, Sabbath. This week he was reflecting on what it is we need Sabbath or sanctuary from. What is it that we need Sabbath from? His suggestions are 5. Productivity, efficiency, perfection, technology, and orthodoxy. All really interesting topics, but perfection really jumped out at me this week. He talked about there are 39 Old Testament Sabbath prohibitions, you know, things you shouldn't do on the Sabbath. And in his reflection on we need Sabbath from perfection, he noted that one of those 39 Sabbath prohibitions is driving a hammer. You should not hammer a nail. You should not drive a hammer on the Sabbath. And while that looks pretty easy on the surface to keep, you know, we break a lot of Sabbath rules, but we could probably do a pretty good job keeping that one, most of us. However, he taught us that the rabbis have said for centuries that hammering a nail is clearly symbolic in Jewish tradition of finishing, get this, finishing a job well, hammering a nail. We need Sabbath from finishing a job well. And I don't know about you, but finishing a job right and well can absolutely possess me. It can make me crazy. It can make me miss my own children's needs right under my nose. It can make me angry unfairly with my spouse. It can make me self-medicate. It can make me sleepless. It can make me dangerous on the road because of fatigue and distraction. It can make me say and do things that just aren't me. The list goes on, and that's sure starting to sound a lot like a demon, isn't it? Are these the nets from which Christ's mercy calls us to, friends? There's a lot tangled in those nets. Perfection, fear and anxiety, and finally that stumbling incompetence at entrusting everything to God. That's the deep spirituality of the offering. That's what that is every Sunday. That's the disciples and us dropping those nets and starting to take our first steps behind the Savior, trying to trust, trying to walk free. The Gospel of Mark is life-saving. It happened again yesterday. I thought I was drowning, and yet Christ found me. I thought everything was falling apart, and yet Christ calls us. As Amanda Gorman proclaimed in those same from those same Capitol steps on Wednesday, we've braved the belly of the beast. We've learned that quiet isn't always peace, and the norms and notions of what just is isn't always justice, and yet the dawn is ours before we knew it. Somehow we do it. Somehow we've weathered and witnessed a nation that isn't broken, but simply unfinished. Friends, in Christ's inauguration, in Christ's call to discipleship, we begin our journey again. And Jesus is the one who finishes the brokenness of our nation and of our hearts and of our world. The driving nail. Christ, the one who loves, who forgives, and who saves us all from the demonic nets. Thanks be to God. Amen.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.